C2A. Number 11B.
She goes on in the same tone that we see it at once, the Holy Ghost or Divine Spirit. It's unmistakable how she now speaks about Spirit, overshadowed the pure sense of the Virgin Mother. Now she describes the inner attitude of the Virgin Mother further as a pure sense. First she described undermined the Virgin Mother as conceiving the idea. That's typical mind. Mind conceives of an idea. And now that Virgin Mother must be entertained, that consciousness, through a pure sense of Spirit. And with a full recognition that being is Spirit. Well, I think it couldn't be clearer that this is truth as Spirit, because the whole text constantly builds on Spirit and of the nature of Spirit. The Christ dwelt forever, an idea in the bosom of God, the divine principle of the man Jesus. See, she goes out and says, well, the idea always was there. It's not something that really had to be created, because it was always there. Only from the human relative standpoint, we say that mind is the creator, but actually the idea is always in the bosom of God, divine principle of the man Jesus. But woman perceived this spiritual idea. That's the point. We cannot say, well, man existed since ever, man is eternal and is an idea of God, and God is eternal, and so it existed forever in God, and that's that. We always have to see that atonement and Eucharist is showing us that everything within us must be aligned to that unity with God, so that we must entertain really that idea. And so woman perceived this idea. Only our pure sense of the Virgin Mother can really perceive the purity of the idea man. The purity of the idea which says it has no concomitant of anything that is foreign to Spirit. That idea is not temporal, has no beginning, has no end, is not material, is not corporeal, is not sinful. That idea is always perfect, never imperfect. And woman, that virgin sense, could perceive the spiritual idea. And now something very interesting, though at first faintly developed. Always in Atonement and Eucharist we notice that it is always a matter of development, that she accepts the developing sense, that she accepts as right and true an ascending sense at the beginning, the ascending sense, so that finally we go uphill all the way, as she says in Apocalypse, going uphill all the way, and to find the true answer. Now, I have to go back quickly for another purpose to the first tone of Truth as Mind. In Truth as Mind we have seen that the Virgin Mother conceived this idea of God, namely that God is the Father of men. And for the first time in the textbook, on page 29, she uses the term idea. Not before. And this has always been quite an indication on how we really can teach science. Though we know that reality consists of principle and idea, and of nothing else but principle and idea, and that the universe is a universe of ideas, in spite of that, Mrs. Eddy doesn't start in that way. She doesn't start out and say, look here, All that exists is principle and idea, and principle and idea is one, and that's our starting point. No, she doesn't do that. She gives the whole chapter, namely prayer, without using the term idea, meaning that she begins to, that she wants to indicate, I think, that our approach to God goes first over spiritual qualities. And we had in the chapter on prayer the description of all those spiritual qualities. The spiritual qualities of what is a true desire, what is a true reflection of spiritual qualities, the spiritual qualities in soul that would be able to rebuke error, the quality of rebuking. In the first prayer, it was all the qualities of honesty, of aligning everything within us, deeds, thoughts, action, and so on, with principle. And the tone of life, it was all about a deep devotion to God. It wasn't anything about idea. Even when she took up the subject of truth, it wasn't idea. She said, no, it is that where you take in all that is good and true into your sanctuary, and where you shut out everything that is not good and true. And finally, at the point of love, she said, you really should have within yourself the glorification of God, that everything within yourself glorifies God. And there was not a single mention of idea, which may be quite a hint for us too when we introduce science really to a newcomer, that perhaps we don't start in right away with principle and idea and system and calculus, but that we first appeal to the best spiritual qualities that can be found in a person. Then even when she starts out with the Atonement and Eucharist, you see that it takes another 10 pages to come up to the point where she brings in idea. So all those first five big subjects on mind, spirit, soul, principle, and life, she could do without even mentioning idea, without even mentioning that all centers around idea, that really that which finally matters and that which finally has to be seen as reality is ideas. And that was always quite a big point. And now we will see that suddenly she uses the term idea a few times, one after the other, and afterwards drops it again. And afterwards goes on without actually using the term idea. When we come to the third chapter on marriage, she doesn't mention idea at all, not once. But when she comes to the fourth chapter, Christian Science versus Spiritualism, then everything is idea. Then suddenly it is as if she would let the cat out of her bag and say, you know, I have hidden it away for a long time, and I didn't quite tell you that reality has only to do with idea. I only gave you first those human qualities that symbolize that idea, that come near to that quality of idea, namely those spiritual attitudes which you can entertain with yourself. But fundamentally, then she will say in the fourth chapter, that's why that chapter is so terrific, she said, fundamentally, the identities of being are ideas and not spiritual qualities. This is what I wanted to point out here, that only a few times she uses the term idea, because she wanted, I think, to introduce to us really that we cannot bring forth the true sense of man without seeing it as idea. So you had idea on line 17. Then again, here on line 28, where woman perceived this spiritual idea, And it's always this spiritual idea referring back just to one idea, namely that God is the creator of men. And only now, on line 30, we get man as the idea of spirit. She says there, man as the offspring of God. Can you hear the tone of spirit? Spirit has offspring, spirit brings forth. Do you hear the development of the subject? Mind creates, is the creator. The woman brings forth, that spirit, bringing forth, and here it, therefore having an offspring. So man as the offspring of God is what? The idea of spirit. And you have the tone of spirit again. But now, for the first time, man is defined as idea of spirit. And it is the immortal evidence that spirit is harmonious and man eternal. Again, Jesus was the offspring. Can you see? She still is in the tone of spirit, that spirit brings forth. Jesus was the offspring of Mary's. That's a nice rendering, namely of Mary's self-conscious communion with God. That's a wonderful atmosphere which depicts, so to say, what we should entertain in a treatment, what we should entertain when we pray about the fact, who are we, what is man, what means idea man. That is not the statement. We cannot really get hold of this, that man is the idea of spirit, just by stating it. That doesn't do a trick. Just by reading it does even less. And just by repeating it doesn't do anything either. It must be a self-conscious communion with God. It must be that where we really pray, where we really are entertaining with all our earnesty, with all our purest sense of things, with a great sense of awe and admiration, the very fact that God is the creator of men, and therefore at the point of spirit, that man is the idea of spirit. That must flow out of the Virgin Mother. The Virgin Mother, Mary, had that self-conscious communion with God. And if we read in Luke, really, those prayer, what are they called, at the beginning of Luke, where Luke depicts really how Mary was elevating in her thought the idea that she wants to conceive, was really seeing that what she is going to bring forth would be the Savior of all nations, not just the Savior of Israel, but of all nations. Mary had a wonderful universal sense at the beginning of her history. Just lifting up constantly the idea as high as she could. She was communing with God, and God is the infinite and the all, and she always could see the... came into mind, it's the Magnificat that depicts Mary's self-conscious communion with God. You call it Magnificat, yes. And so I think we can't get around to ponder, to pray. You know, I always feel that in the measure that we perhaps have introduced the scientific aspect of the text of Christian Science, that it had some kind of a negative concomitant, that the thinking process was too much stress, that the reasoning process was too much stress. No, that's not right. Not too much stress, I would say singly stressed. And very often forgotten that all that what we conceive really as the idea and see as the idea, study as the idea, that we really have to take that in a prayerful attitude and entertain it in our conscience as a self-conscious communion with God, where we are really alone with God and struggle with his insight and say, what does it mean? How big is that? What does it mean to my life? What does it mean to the world? What is it that it will do to the world? What is the future of it? What is the development of it? It's that constant communion with God that must go parallel to the study. Or else the study will go dry on us, and then we leave the study. And that would be a pity, because we have started out right. So don't forget over and over that you have long evening nights where you are alone and where you can sit back and say, now I talk with God. Now I talk with God. Now I talk with reality. I have to go through the whole chores of my daily life and had to do it. I had to do it because that's what I had to do, what was my duty. All right, I did my duty. But at least there is some time left in a day, which is the most important part of the day, where we talk with God, where we sit back and just commune with God, and not just in a haphazard way, but that it is a really self-conscious, I'm conscious of it, that I commune. It's a self-conscious communion with God, or we can say with divine science. And so I commune with divine science, which is a synonymous term for God, for the allness of God, and shows God in its whole science and its structure. And I stand there and pray about it, stand in awe before it, see the bigness of it, see the promise of it, see the power of it, see the magnitude of it, see the fullness and abundance of it, see the future of it, and I commune with divine science. And that really is that which enables us, as she says, to have as our offspring, named the idea man. I begin then more and more to see what I am. That I'm not that body sitting in a chair and thinking about God, but that it is the Spirit of God within me that communes with the Spirit that is God. So that like can understand like, and they can talk to each other, they commune with each other. And so it is today too, that we know nobody has gone away from here. They are all always in the realm of spirit, and we commune with spirit, and that's the only communication that is anything worthwhile, and that helps everyone. Hence, he, Jesus, could give a more spiritual idea of life. Now, life is in a small L. It's now no more God. He could give a more spiritual idea of his existence, of his living, of what life capitalized is giving to life, small L, because divinity comes to humanity. The divine must overcome the human at every point and give us a life that shows forth more the spiritual idea. Yes, he could give a more spiritual idea of life than other men, M-E-N, and could demonstrate the science of love, his father or divine principle. Again, you have this thing that suddenly love comes in when we are not in the subject of love, neither the main tone nor the subtone. As we have seen over and over, love is, so to say, the great subject of atonement and Eucharist. That's why the main tone of love takes as many pages or more pages than the first six subjects together, because atonement always is that which says, I want to save everybody. I want to draw everybody to me. So that always there is that sense that no matter what happened, actually behind it is always love that had right from the beginning a plan. That's why then the seven subjects start out that way, that there is a design of love that wants to save the sinner. And so again and again, when we are, so to say, in the working out of things, as here in the birth of things, that we can always remember, but fundamentally it's not dependent on me, fundamentally it's dependent on the nature of being, which says, I'm love, I want to draw you to the point of salvation. It's also quite interesting that Mrs. A. only has one reference about the science of love, and that's right here. She never uses that rendering again in her writings, as if she would say here, learn the science of atonement and Eucharist. Learn that science of atonement and Eucharist, learn it through the seven by seven, how you are harmonized and come in accord with the divine principle of being. Then that divine principle of being comes to you and works in you, overturns in you what needs to be overturned, so that all that which is ungodlike is really separated from us, overcome in us, and that we are then drawn to the unity with God. She goes on at the point of spirit. Born of a woman, again you hear at once the tone of spirit. Spirit gives birth. Born of a woman, Jesus advent in the flesh. You can see again the birth, advent in the flesh is just a nice expression for birth. The baby is born. So Jesus here as a material, corporeal concept, advent in the flesh, partook partly. Now we come to a big thing, one part and the other part, partly of Mary's earthly condition. So here is brought out that Jesus was born in a way like others are born, namely partaking of the mother's earthly condition. Although, now comes the other part, although he was endowed with the Christ, namely with the Spirit, the Divine Spirit, without measure. So you see that dual nature of Jesus, partly earthly condition, partly endowed with the full measure of Divine Spirit. Now, naturally, as she had said before, that Jesus could give a more spiritual sense of life, because the difference between us and Jesus was that we are not only partly but wholly partaking of the earthly condition of both of creation and of birth. Whereas Jesus had two parts, namely the one part was that Mary conceived the idea of creator as spiritual, and not as material. So the creative sense of Mary to see that Father is a spiritual Father, bringing forth a spiritual idea, was naturally something that was unique for Jesus. And the second part was that earthly condition, the same as we go through. And this this accounts for his struggles. That's account for that dual nature. If you have a dual nature, the struggle begins between the spiritual and the material. And so he had his struggles in Gethsemane and on Calvary. And this enabled him to be the mediator. Now we come to the point that Jesus was the mediator or the way shower between God and men. Between God and men, M-E-N, between God and mortals, how God translates itself to mortals. That's the translation. So she said, had his origin and birth, origin, mind, and birth, spirit, been wholly apart from mortal usage, Jesus would not have been appreciable to mortal mind as the way. If, do you see what she says? That if the Virgin Mary had seen both, had seen really that God creates and that Spirit gives birth, then there would not have been a material Jesus, and we would not have seen a mediator that would show us who are born and created materially, would not have been a mediator. Then the whole purpose of that age would not have fulfilled itself. Therefore, we'll have to think about it. What happens if we conceive of both spiritually? If we conceive that mind is the creator and only creates in ideas, and also see that God is spirit and therefore only gives birth to spiritual ideas and not to material people, that is something we have to think about it, because that is what Mrs. Eddy then brought. And we'll talk about it next hour.